Okay, good evening, everyone. So I wanted to talk. We finished the mitzvot saseh, the positive aspects of Hilchos Shabbos. So we're moving now into the more negative aspects, so to speak, the things that we're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And I was debating what to start with. Should I start with the Lamates Malachos, the Del Raisa, start with the Derabanans? So I decided to start with the Derabanans. Once you start with the Lamates Malachos, you know, you can kind of drown in them and get lost, and you know, it could take you forever. So I figured we'll start with some of the Rabbanans, some very interesting cases, and we'll move from there to the Lamates Malachos. You know, try to stay focused on things that are very practical, which much of Hilchos Shabbos is. You know, things that come up on a very regular basis. So tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about Hachana, and I titled the shiur "Washing Dishes," which is one of the aspects of Hachana, the main expressions of Hachana. And Hachana, what Hachana means is preparation. Hachana is preparation. So if you look, the source of this problem, and again, it's the Rabbanan. This is not a De'oraisa problem. It's not anywhere in the Torah. It's not one of the Lamates Malachos that you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. But comes the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches in source number one, and writes as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a braisa. Ka'aros sha'achal ba hen arvis, madichan le'echol ba hen shachris. Says the Gemara, that really the braisa, that any dishes that I use Friday night, I'm allowed to wash for my meal on Shabbos day. Right? I eat Friday night, I have my dishes, I finish eating, I want to wash those dishes for use on Shabbos day, no problem. Shachris, madichan le'echol ba hen b'tzaraim. And any dishes that I finish up with after my second meal, right, what we would call lunch, you're allowed to wash those dishes for whatever meal you're eating later. Shal shudis. Batzorayim madichan lechol bohen b'mincha. So apparently here they had even more than shal shudis, but they had they ate in the afternoon and then they ate again, you know, after mincha. So maybe the afternoon, you know, because again, keep in mind, people used to, you know, we daven, we finish davening 11, 11.15, 11.30 until we get home. It's really lunch. Their Suda Shnia was more like breakfast. It was more like, you know, the Hashkama Minyan Chevra, you know, where you have your first meal is already, you know, it's 9 o'clock. It's breakfast time. And then my, you know, by the time I get around to lunch, it's really my Shalosh Shudas. And then I'm getting around to quote-unquote Shalosh Shudas. It's really my Suda Revias. It's really my fourth meal. So writes the Gemara that once you finish that meal, again, you're eating again after mincha, no problem. If you're eating again, you can wash the dishes again. Mina mincha ve'elach, let's just finish the Gemara, mina mincha ve'elach, shuv eino madiach. But says the Gemara, that once you finish that last meal, you can't wash your dishes anymore. You can't wash your dishes anymore on Shabbos. Why? So it seems clear from the Gemara that, you know, based on all the cases that the Gemara said until now, that the reason why I'm allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos is because I have more meals, so I'm going to be using those dishes. But once I've eaten my last meal, so now I'm not going to be using those dishes anymore on Shabbos. The Gemara says you can't wash those dishes anymore on Shabbos, with one exception. Writes the Gemara, Aval kosos v'kitonios utzluchios. You have these small dishes which are used for drinking, so cups or some sort of a thermos or a bottle. You know, things that I use for drinking. So then says the Gemara, drinking glasses you're allowed to wash all day long. Why? Madiach v'holech kol hayom kulo, lefi she'ein keva l'shtiyah. Because people drink all day. So meals, you know, I sit down, I have my three meals on Shabbos, maybe my four meals if it's a long Shabbos and I'm hungry, I have my four meals on Shabbos. But drinking, that, you know, so once I'm done my fourth meal, that's it, I'm done, I'm not going to eat any more meals. But drinking, people drink the whole Shabbos. So even if you've already eaten your last meal, I've eaten my Shalosh Shudas, whatever the case might be, now I still might have a couple hours left of Shabbos, I'm going to be drinking throughout that time. I need some clean glasses, some clean cups throughout that time. So you're allowed to wash dishes throughout that entire time period. The Gemara doesn't really explain, but the Gemara just says that that this is the issue. Again, if you have more meals or you're drinking more, you can wash the dishes for those needs. If you're not, so then the Gemara says you should not. Now we'll talk, you know, more about the details.
So this is a matzah, basically. It was probably the time of Gemara where they only had a certain amount of dishes.
Oh.
But if you had a set like of 16 and you only have 5 right. people eating,
good.
Then it sounds like you should be able to watch.
Right. So okay. So we'll see that that's not the case. But you're right. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. We'll see.
And
that's what it sounds like. What?
And once you start, you have to finish.
Well, we'll see. This is actually a big chiddush when it comes to that. Oh, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Okay, so let's see the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in source number 2 basically just paskins this halacha. Madichim kelim letzorech hayom kigon shenishelo adayin seuda leechol. I still have a meal left to eat. So says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm allowed to wash dishes. Why? Because that's not hachana. Again, the issue here, the problem here is hachana. I'm not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. But if I'm washing my dishes after my Friday night meal for my Shabbos day meal, or after my Shabbos morning, my Shabbos afternoon meal for my Shalosh Shudis, so I'm not preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos, I'm preparing on Shabbos for Shabbos. That's certainly allowed. I'm allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Shabbos, that's okay. So therefore, I'm allowed to continue washing those dishes. Aval achar suda shlishis ein madichin. Once Shalosh Shudis comes, I've finished eating, I'm not eating anymore, you can't wash your dishes anymore. However, says the Shulchan Aruch paskening this halacha that we just read in the Gemara, uklei shtia madichin kol hayom, shekol hayom ra'uin lishtia. Right, but again, you can wash your drinking glasses the entire day. Now, so Irwin made a good point. Let's say I have a service for 16, or a service for 12. And it's just me and my wife, or we had a couple of guests, and you know, Friday night I only used 4 or 5 plates. I only used 2 plates. So I have plenty of plates left in my cupboard, in my cabinet. Am I allowed to wash those dishes, you know, if I'm going to use them the next day? So the halacha is that, you know, there's machlokas about this, but you know, I feel comfortable saying that the halacha is that we can, you're allowed to wash those dishes as long as you're going to use them. Right, as long as you're planning to use those dishes, you're allowed to wash the dishes and use them again on Shabbos. You know, you don't have to worry that I have extra dishes in the cabinet, so maybe I can't wash the dishes. No, as long as you're going to use them the next day, you're going to use them for the next meal. You can wash those dishes.
You use at night 8 dishes, but you know in the morning or the next day afternoon you're only going to need 6.
Oh, okay, good. So we're going to get there. Okay, that's like actually a case in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, what's the reasoning behind this prohibition? Right? Why can't I prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos? Now, we've given one example here of preparing, which is washing dishes. There are other examples also, which we'll talk about. You know, as we progress tonight, there are other examples of preparing. But what's this prohibition of preparing for you know, on Shabbos for after Shabbos? Why can't I? I'm not doing any malacha. Right? I'm not using hot water, which we'll talk about. That's a bishul issue. I'm not using a sponge, which we'll talk about. That's a schita issue. I'm avoiding all the technical hilchos Shabbos problems when I wash dishes. I'm washing with cold water. I have a kosher sponge. You know, whatever I'm using, I have no problems with in terms of the lamites malachos. So why can't I wash the dishes? Let's say it's even for after Shabbos. What's the problem? Right? Why am I not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos? So comes the Mishnah Berurah in source number 3 and writes, Vim Yodea, Shelo Yitzdarech Od La'elo HaKelim. Let's say I know that I'm not going to need these Kelim anymore. I'm not going to need these dishes anymore. Let's say I, for example, Shabbos lunch, I'm eating out. So Friday night I ate at home. Now Shabbos lunch, I'm invited out. So I'm not going to be using the dishes anymore. That's it in Shalosh Shudis. I eat in Shul, I eat on paper, whatever it is. I don't need these dishes anymore on Shabbos. I don't need any dishes anymore on Shabbos. Right? So then writes the Mishnah Berurah, Asur lahadichan, then you're not allowed to wash the dishes, even Friday night. I'm not allowed to wash the dishes if I know that I'm not going to be needing them anymore. Why? Mishum torach. Because of tircha. What's tircha? Extra effort. Right? Extra effort.
That's objective.
Right? Well, true. Okay, well here Chazal objectified it. Here Chazal objectified it. That when it comes to preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos, that's what we call tircha. And Chazal said, hold on 1 second, Chazal said, on the Rabbah, again, at the Rabbanah level, Chazal said that when it comes to extra tircha on Shabbos, we don't want you doing anything on Shabbos that's preparing for after Shabbos. It's extra tircha. Shabbos is supposed to be a day of rest, not just from Lamites Malachos perspective, but in general, you're supposed to feel restful on Shabbos. So you shouldn't be doing things on Shabbos in preparation for after Shabbos. So that's the general concept, that we don't want tircha, we don't want extra effort on Shabbos.
But if you don't wash the dishes, even if you're not going to use them the next day,
right?
And you wait till after Shabbos, it's more tircha to clean them.
That's
they
true.
It on, they dry
that's
on.
Right, exactly. It is more tircha motzai Shabbos, but that's not what Chazal were worried about. They weren't worried about your motzai Shabbos. Okay, good. So we'll talk. Well, good. So that we'll talk about that next.
What happens?
Yeah.
it's tempting for the wife knowing she has the dishes sitting there, she's thinking about the whole time. I got to do this after Shabbat.
Okay, yeah.
That could be more tempting for some people.
Right. So that's you know, I don't know if I would call that tircha. That's, you know, it might. You know, it might be uncomfortable for people. You know, for certain people, OCD people, they can't handle it. You know, to have the dishes piled up in the sink or whatever, it's problematic. Yeah, you know, there is something to it. Now, the Mishneh Berurah, by the way, does mention that you know, the examples that the Shulchan Aruch gave of, you know, the third meal and the Shalosh Shudas, and after Shalosh Shudas you can't wash the dishes anymore. All those examples are talking about a normal case where I'm eating my three meals and after Shalosh Shudas I'm done. But if I have some sort of specific reason that I know I'm going to need the dishes after Shalosh Shudas, so then of course you can use them. Right? Let's say I'm eating an early Shalosh Shudas. You know, I ate Davin Hashkama. So my second meal was already 9 o'clock. My Shalosh Shudas was 12 o'clock. And now comes 4 o'clock, I'm hungry again. I need more chalet, I'm hungry again. So then if I know that I'm going to need the dishes again, even if it's after quote-unquote Shalosh Shudas, it doesn't make a difference. If you know you're going to need them, then you can wash. The whole idea here is that you don't need them anymore. Then you can't wash anymore. Once you know you need them, so then you can wash. Now, Joe made an interesting point before that it would seem, according to this, it would seem that if I, let's say I know that, you know, I used 10 dishes on Friday night. We had company over, I used 10 dishes Friday night. So now I need to wash my dishes for the next day. But let's say the next day I know I'm only having company, I only need 6. So am I allowed, do I have to wash only 6? And the other 4 I have to leave in the sink or leave in the dishwasher? Or can I wash, you know, can I wash all 10? You know? So you would think that, well, if the issue is that I can only wash what I need, so then you should only be able to wash those 6 that you need. Comes the Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishneh Berurah, and brings a big chiddush here, and this is source number 4, and writes the Magen Avraham, Afilu eser kosos ve'ein tzarich ela la'achas rashai lahadichan kulan. He says, even if you only need one cup, I need one plate for tomorrow, and I have 10 dirty ones in the sink, you can wash all 10. You can wash all 10. Why? Dehoil v'ro'oi lo kol echad hitru kulan. Because since either one, I can use any cup. There's no particular cup that I need to use, or no particular plate. So since I can use whatever plate, you know, any of these 10 plates I can use tomorrow. Any of these 10 cups I can use tomorrow. So therefore they said that once we allow you to wash one, you can wash any of them. Because I can decide tomorrow which plate I want to use. I can decide tomorrow which cup I want to use. It's a chiddush of the Magen Avraham. You know, you can imagine otherwise. That you know, why should it be that I should only be able to wash exactly what I need? But apparently, he felt that once you're washing dishes already, and you have this you know, logical argument that listen, I can really use any one of them. Why do I have to decide Friday night which plate I want to use tomorrow? Let me wash all of them, and I'll decide tomorrow which plate I want to use. You know, so therefore, the Magen Avraham says no problem. You can wash all of them once you're washing, as long as you need some of them, you can wash all of them, and you are and you're in the clear. But you have to be careful because you're only allowed to wash the you know, all of the items if you're using some of those items. So, for example, let's say, you know, people have soup Friday night, okay? And if you're not Sephardi, so chances are you're not going to have soup Shabbos day because you can't heat up soup Shabbos day unless you keep it on the crock pot the whole night or something like that. But otherwise, you can't heat up, right? You know, you can't heat up soup Shabbos day, which we'll talk about in another shir, perhaps. Not perhaps, we will. In another shir, we'll talk about it. So if I'm not having soup Shabbos day, so I don't need my soup bowls for Shabbos day, right? So once I have my soup bowls and I dirty them Friday night, I'm not going to need them at all on Shabbos day. So those I can't wash at all. You can't wash any soup bowls or even soup spoons. If you know you're not going to need your soup spoons because I'm not, you know, I'm not using, I only use my soup spoons for soup. And now I'm not having any soup on Shabbos day. So again, you can't wash any soup spoons. But any of the other items, if I have big plates or I have appetizer plates or dessert plates and what, you know, whatever, small spoons and small forks and all those things, so I am going to use them on Shabbos day. So even if I'm only using a few, I can wash all of them. Yeah.
I assume you'll address the point that we have nowadays. We have dishwashers. And...
Yes. Okay. Good. Okay. So now comes when it comes to washing dishes. So now comes the question. Okay. So I can't. Let's say I know that I don't need these dishes for tomorrow. I'm eating out on Shabbos day. I know I do not need these dishes. So can I rinse them off? Or can I soak them? Okay? Even in cold water, right? So here, many poskim say that you can't even rinse them off. And you can't even soak them. Why? Because if you're rinsing off your soaking, again, it's the same thing. You may not be washing the whole dish, but I'm essentially doing hakana. I'm preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos. I don't want my job, right? As Kivi said, I don't want my job to be harder on Motzai Shabbos. So I'm not allowed to do it. I'm not allowed to rinse them off, and I'm not allowed to soak them. The thing that you can do, according to everyone, is that if you prepare a basin or a bucket before Shabbos, right? And I just leave that bucket I leave it in the sink, I leave it on the counter, I leave it wherever. So now when I'm clearing my table, I have a dirty plate, okay? I got to put that plate somewhere. I'm not leaving it on the table, I'm clearing it. So once I'm putting that plate somewhere, I can choose to put it in the sink or I can choose to put it in the basin of water, right? So once I have the plate in my hands and I got to put it somewhere, so now Chazal said here, to put it here, to put it there, that's not a significant tircha. That's not considered tircha if I put it in one place or put it in the other place. So once that's the case, so then once the basin's prepared already, you're allowed to just put it right into the basin and leave it there. To fill up the basin on Shabbos and to put the plates in, that's already tircha. I'm doing something active. But here I have the plate in my hand. I just have to decide, you know, which place to put it. So you're allowed to put it in a basin of water that's prepared beforehand. Some people actually even prepare a basin of hot water. You know, so it might cool off a little bit, but you know, by the time the meal is over.
With dish detergent.
Yeah. No, seriously. Soapy hot water. You can prepare a basin of soapy hot water. And if it's a lot of water, you know, it'll retain some of the heat, or at least it'll be lukewarm or whatever. And right after the meal, you can put the dishes right in that basin and let them sit there, and you know, the whole Shabbos. And you know, after Shabbos, they'll be very easy to clean. Dishwashers also. That's when it comes to you know, to soaking them. By the way, before I get to dishwashers, another thing that you can do is you can put them in the sink. Right? Let's say, you know, I put my dishes in the sink, and now I want to wash my hands. Right? So I can wash my hands over the dishes. The dishes are sitting in the sink. I got to put them somewhere. So I put the dishes in the sink, and now I'm washing my hands. So the dishes are getting wet. I'm not actively soaking the dishes, but they're getting wet because I'm washing my hands on top of the dishes, and now the water and the soap or whatever I'm using is spilling onto the dishes. So it kind of alleviates the problem, even though I'm not actually, you know, physically soaking it, but I'm kind of like getting around it because I got to put the dirty cholin pot somewhere, so I put it in the sink and I wash my hands, so I get around that issue.
Water off after you wash your hands.
Yeah, I mean, I would shut it
if
off.
If you let it go, you're saying the water's closing it now or closing it later.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not so comfortable with that, but I guess so.
I mean, everybody used to dishwasher anyway, so what's
right. Yeah.
If you could wash on Shabbos for Shabbos, does that include dishes that were dirty going into Shabbos?
Yes. So if you have dishes that are dirty going into Shabbos, and you're going to use those dishes on Shabbos, or at least you're going to use, you know, the same type of dish, right? We discussed you can wash more than you need, but if you're going to use the same type of dish, so let's say going into Shabbos, I used a couple of forks or something, you know, while she was cooking, she used a couple of spoons to stir things, and she threw them in the sink, and now I have the spoons from before Shabbos and the spoons from Friday night, and I know I'm going to use spoons the next day, so I'm allowed to wash all the spoons and have them ready, yeah. That's a good question. So that we don't do, right? We don't wash for one Shabbos and the next Shabbos. Actually, the one place where this comes up is rolling a Sefer Torah. You know, sometimes, you know, rolling a Sefer Torah gets, you know, you're rolling it from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, so that we don't do. That we don't do, but for that Shabbos itself, that you can do. Yeah?
Can we define tircha as extraneous physical exertion? Definition
for the time being, okay. But we'll see that there might be some examples of hachana where it's not even physical exertion, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
But for the time being, that is that certainly is the case.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now, when it comes to dishwashers, we can apply a similar logic that we used already. Right? Am I allowed to take my dirty dishes? Forget soaking them. Right? I'm not going to soak them. Right? I want to take my dirty dishes, I just want to put them in the dishwasher, you know? Can I just load the dishwasher Friday night, right after my meal, load the dishwasher with the dishes? So again, the halacha is that that you're allowed to do it. Why am I allowed to load the dishwasher? It's not hachana. Because again, we use the same logic. I have to put the dishes somewhere. I'm taking them off the table, right? So I got to put my dishes somewhere. So I could choose to put them in the sink. I could choose to put them on the counter. I could choose to put them in the refrigerator. I could choose to put them in the dishwasher, right? So although the dishwasher, putting them in the dishwasher is going to help me out for Motzai Shabbos, because now all my plates are in the dishwasher, right? But I'm allowed to do it, okay? The one thing is that once you put the plates in the dishwasher, you can't start rearranging the dishwasher, to exactly how you like it. So let's say, your guests were helping out and they put the dish and you like the big plates over there and they put the small plates over there, you're stuck. You can't start like rearranging the dishwasher the way that you like it, Motzai Shabbos. You got to just leave it, and then after Shabbos you can rearrange things the way you like it. What, putting them in the dishwasher? No, so that's exactly what we're saying. Because since here, you need to put the dishes somewhere, right? I need to put the dishes somewhere. So I can put them in the sink or I can put them in the dishwasher. There's no extra tircha to put them in the dishwasher than to put them in the sink.
You can't rinse them out and then put them in the dishwasher.
Correct, right. Rinsing them off and then putting them in the dishwasher is a problem. Because the rinsing is a problem.
You can't put them in the sink first and then take them from the sink and put them in the dishwasher.
You could do that. Let's say, for example... No.
Sat in the water basin.
I'm looking for an ass.
Again. Let's say I'm clearing my table, right? I do this sometimes. Let's say you're clearing your table, and you don't want necessarily after each course, you don't want to have to open the dishwasher and put the dishes in or whatever. So just throughout the course of the meal, you clear the table, and then you dump everything in the sink, right? Now, I don't want my dishes in the sink the whole Shabbos. I need to use it. I need to use it to wash my hands. I need to use it to clean. I need my sink. So then you're allowed to take the dishes out of the sink and put them in the dishwasher just because you need to put them somewhere. That you can do. Again, if you don't need your sink anymore, I wouldn't recommend it. But you can theoretically do that.
What about from the water basin that they were sitting in and then into the dishwasher?
So that's a little trickier, because if they're sitting in a water basin, you don't need the water basin. If they're sitting in your sink... What?
It was in your way on the counter.
Yeah, maybe. It's not as glad as the sink. If you have the dishes piled up in the sinks, and then you need your sink. You can't have an inaccessible sink the whole Shabbos. So then it makes sense. You could take them out and put them in. It was basin. I'm not as excited about.
Are you allowed to put your dishes and your silverware in the dishwasher in an orderly fashion?
Yes.
All forks in one spot.
Yeah. When you put them in, you can put them in wherever you want. Right? So what I said before, you just can't rearrange. Once they're in, they're in. Because the whole heter is that once I'm putting them in, there's no extra tircha for me to put them in the dishwasher than to put them in the sink. It's all the same. I'm just putting them somewhere. So that's fine. So if you want to put them in an orderly fashion, so you say, listen, nobody touch the dish. I'm putting the dishes in the dishwasher, because I like them. I want my big plates here and my little plates here and my forks in this compartment. So that you're allowed to do. But once they're in, don't touch them. Once they're in, and now you can't mess around with them anymore. Okay. By the way, sometimes people hear this and it scares them. You don't rinse, it's going to get caked on, it's going to get stuck on, it's so much more of a tircha motzoi Shabbos. It's a little bit more of a tircha motzoi Shabbos, but I do this every single Shabbos, and it's okay. It works, the stuff still comes off. You can soak them for a few minutes after Shabbos, let them soak for a few minutes, and it comes off very easily. So it does work out in the end. Baruch Hashem, we have clean dishes. Yeah, Rob. Yeah.
In a corner, in an orderly fashion. Then can you move them into the dishwasher?
Yeah, but again, you don't want the... That's okay, because you don't want the dishes on your counter the whole Shabbos, If you don't mind...
You don't need that space.
Yeah, but it's not... People don't like to have dishes on their counter, Again, it might depend on you. That already might get subjective. Is it something that bothers you if you have your dishes piled up? I know, like my wife, for example, she doesn't like to have, the dishes piled up, everywhere on Shabbos. She wants them in the dishwasher. You close the dishwasher, you can't see them, She doesn't care about the dirty dishes. But you shouldn't be able to see them, To have them piled up everywhere would bother her. So some people, if they don't care, if you really don't care, if the dishes are piled up, then it's going to be hard to say it's mutter to move them from your counter to your dishwasher, because then you're really just preparing. But if it bothers you, I don't want my dishes on the counter the whole Shabbos. So then to move them into the dishwasher would be okay. Okay. So that's in terms of washing dishes. Now, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention this case, but similar halacha would be regarding clearing the table, right? Clearing the table. So for example, let's say, Friday night, I'm done eating. Obviously, I'm going to clear the table, right? Shabbos day, I'm done eating. I'm going to clear the table. After Shalosh Shudis, right, after Shalosh Shudis, why is it mutter to clear the table? Right? Why are you allowed to clear the table? And when we'll talk about putting the food away, that's a different question. But let's say like the dirty plates. So there's no real heter to clear the table. It's really hachana, right? You're cleaning up. It might depend. I mean, if it's really that disgusting, you know. Again, so now, if you're spending time in the room, okay, if you're spending time in the room, and we'll see this in a minute. If you're spending time in that room, and it's going to bother you, the fact that you have like a whole table full of dirty dishes, so then you can clean it up, because then you're not preparing for after Shabbos. You want you want to have a more pleasant ambiance on Shabbos. You don't want to be sitting in a room where there's dirty dishes, right? But for example, but let's say you're moving to a different room, right? Let's say you eat shal shudis and everybody's going to shul, you know, to David Marim. Nobody's staying in that room, okay? And whoever's staying home, the ladies, they're going into the living room to relax. They're not going to see that table. So then, in that case, really, you shouldn't clear it off, right? If nobody's going to be hanging around that room, it's not really bothering you. Graf shel rei, which we discussed, you know, that you're allowed to move something disgusting, garbage, a dirty diaper, things like that. But that's only if it's in a location where you are spending time on Shabbos and it's bothering you. But if it's in your garage and you're not even going into your garage, there's no heter to move it on Shabbos. So that's what I would say. It depends if you're going to be hanging around in that room. If you're hanging around in that room and it's bothering you, then you can clear it off. But if you're not, if everybody's leaving, so then I would say that you should not clear off the table. Another expression of this Isra of Hachana is when it comes to beds. If you look at the Mishnah Brura in source number 5, so he writes that just like you can't wash your dishes on Shabbos for after Shabbos, so too you can't make your bed on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Now presumably, when he's talking about making beds, what he's probably talking about is physically putting the sheets on the bed, right? So you have let's say you have a mattress that doesn't have any sheets on it, and now you know you have guests coming Motzei Shabbos or whatever, somebody's coming over, and you want to make the beds for Motzei Shabbos. So that's Hachana. I'm preparing on Shabbos. I'm doing something on Shabbos that's preparing for after Shabbos. So you can't do that. Okay? What we do of just making the beds, you know, you're pulling the comforter or the cover over the beds and making it nice and neat, that's not probably what he's talking about, because that's not preparing. You know, that's making it harder for you to go to sleep. It's made. You know, but so that's just straightening out the room. That's okay. But especially if you're spending time in that room and you want to have like a nice, neat room, that's okay. But if you have a bed that doesn't have any linen on it, and I want to put linen on it for Motzai Shabbos, that's a problem. That's Hachana. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about. So, Ein Matzin Mi Shabbos Le Motzai Shabbos. You're not allowed to make the beds, meaning put the linen on Shabbos for Motzai Shabbos. Mi Kol Makom, however, Im Hamita Omedes Bebeso, Vehudavar Meguna Ubi Zayon Le Shabbos, Sheyamur Kach. But let's say you have a bed that's it's in a room that people are hanging around in that room on Shabbos. You're spending time in that room on Shabbos. And now it's a bizayon to Shabbos. If you have a bed that doesn't have any linen on it, that's just sitting there in the middle of the room, it's kind of an eyesore on Shabbos to be sitting like that. So then, mutr lahatziya. So then you're allowed to put the linen on that bed on Shabbos. Why? Demikri tzorech Shabbos. Because that's not called preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos. That's called tzorech Shabbos. That's a need for Shabbos right now. I want my room to look nice. I want my room to look tidy. Right? I'm spending time in that room. I want my room to look tidy. So that's okay. Then you can even put the linen on the bed if it's an eyesore and it's bothering you. So again, you know, if we're talking about what we call making the beds, just like straightening, tidying the room, again, if you want it because you want your room to look nice, you know, every day I make the beds because I want the room to look nice. We're spending time in them. You go in and out of the room. You want it to look nice on Shabbos, nice and neat and tidy. That's fine. Because you're not preparing for after Shabbos. That's for Shabbos. You want it to look nice for Shabbos. If you're a teenager who doesn't care, so then, it might not be Tzorech Shabbos for you to make it, unless your mom tells you to make your bed, in which case it is Tzorech Shabbos. You got to listen to your mother. But otherwise, it wouldn't be Tzorech Shabbos. Okay. We find also, a couple of other examples of Hachana. If you look at it's source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch, this is actually in Hilchos Lulav, writes that first of all Hachana applies to Yom Tov also, right? Ve'asur lahachin b'Yom Tov l'tzorech leil Yom Tov. Okay, when it comes to 2 days Yom Tov, you can't prepare on one day Yom Tov for the second day Yom Tov. And this we know that, right? We have to wait on the second night of Yom Tov. We have to wait until the first Yom Tov is over, until that time is over, in order to start getting ready, getting the meal ready for the next day. right? You have to wait until you start heating up the food and getting, you know, setting the table, doing all those things. Heating up food and setting a table on Yontif is certainly hachana, it's certainly preparing for the nighttime meal. So you got to wait until the nighttime. You can't prepare from one day Yontif to the next day of Yontif. And not only that, not only cooking and heating up food and things like that, you also can't even set up the table. Right? Let's say I'm having company and I need to bring in six chairs from the garage into the dining room. Right? I can't do that on Yontif afternoon for the night Yontif meal. I can't do that because it's from one night of Yontif to the next. We know that the only reason why we're allowed to do it on a three-day Yontif, where it's Yontif, then going into Shabbos, we're allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, that's only because of Eruv Tavshilin. Right? That's a whole separate reason why we're allowed to prepare on Yontif for the following Shabbos, because of Eruv Tavshilin. Perhaps we'll talk about that another time as well. But otherwise it's Hachana. This touches on something that we already mentioned, but here the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa says it very explicitly. Let's say you have something that is kind of a normal activity. I'll give you the following example. Remember this came up. Let's say you go away for Shabbos. I'm going away this Shabbos, right? For my sister Shabbos Kalas. So I'm going to my parents' house for Shabbos. So I'll bring my Kalas. Bring my Shabbos Kalas. So now I daven Shacharis in the shul. I have my talis. Am I allowed to now bring my talis back home? Am I allowed to bring my talis out of the shul back to my father's house? Now, if you think about it, bringing your talis out of the shul, once you're done davening, why are you bringing your talis out of the shul? It's because you want it for the next Shabbos, right? Otherwise, I could leave my talis there, leave my talis in the shul somewhere. So if I'm bringing my talis out of the shul, bringing it back to my father's house, it's really hakana. I'm preparing so that Motzei Shabbos, Sunday, you know, after the wedding, when I leave, I have my Shabbos talis and I just stick it in my suitcase and I leave. As I'm really preparing for after Shabbos. Now, we all know that we all do this, right? If we go away for Shabbos and you bring your talis to shul, your Shabbos, you know, you bring your talis to shul on Shabbos, everybody brings their talis home after Shabbos, right? But what's the heter to do that? Why is that not called hachon? I'm preparing, right? Well, otherwise, why am I bringing my talis home? Obviously, I'm preparing. Not only that, but what about folding my talis? Am I allowed to fold up my talis? Now, folding gets into a whole other issue. If you fold on the creases, it's an issue of libun. But that's, I don't want to get into that right now. That's for another shir. But let's say I don't fold, you know, exactly on the creases. I'm folding off the creases. You know, am I allowed to fold up my talis? Why am I folding my talis? I'm folding my talis so that the next Shabbos, when I come to my talis, I have a nice, neat talis and not a ball of not a wrinkled talis, right? So am I allowed to do that? Or maybe that's also hachana. I'm preparing this Shabbos for the next Shabbos. So comes the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa in source number 7. He's quoting his Rebbe of Shlomo Zalman, Orbach. And he writes as follows, a very, very, very important idea, which really helps us with many of these areas, these like small, minor areas of Hachana. And comes Rav Shlomo Zalman and writes, he holds as follows in source number 7. Kol davar she'in basi yasom yishum tircha. Anything that you're doing where it's not really a big tircha to do it. You know, it's a very, very minor type of exertion. V'gam regilim la'asoso mi b'li lachshov ala toeles shibe asiyaso. And it's a normal activity that people do as a matter of habit. You don't really think about the fact that it's preparing, even though it might be preparing. But that's not what you're thinking about when you do it. It's a very it's an activity that's minor exertion, and it's a normal activity, a routine activity that people do as a matter of habit without really thinking about the fact that they are preparing for something. Writes of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Mutar la'asoso b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Gam im teitzei me'asiyoso zu toeles limos hachol. Even though there is some sort of preparatory benefit that I'm getting from it. Ubilvad shelo yomar b'mefurashu meichin lachol. We'll talk about that in a minute. So therefore, now applying it to the case of the talis, which if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself does. So now it makes sense. After shul, what happens? What do people do? People fold up their talis and they take their talis home. It's minor exertion. We're not talking about serious exertion here. It's even less than washing dishes, right? I would say certainly I would much rather fold my talis than wash dishes, right? It's very minor exertion. And it's a routine thing that people do. After davening, everybody folds up their talis. After davening, everybody brings their talis home. Unless you know, people here, they daven in the same shul every Shabbos, so they keep their talis in a cubby. But otherwise, you know, people go to shul, you take your talis home right when you're done. It's a routine thing. Now, it might be that in reality, what you're doing is preparing for the next Shabbos, so now I have my talis with me, I can pack it up and I have it for the next Shabbos. But since it's something that's really minor in terms of the exertion level, and it's a very routine, normal activity that everyone does without thinking about the fact that they're preparing for the next Shabbos, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's not what Chazal prohibited when they prohibited Hachana. They weren't worried about that kind of a thing. And therefore, any type of activity like that is going to be totally mutter, even though it seems like it is Hachana. Yeah.
I would think that most people who take the talis from shul to home after davening are doing it at least on a subconscious level to avoid having the talis lost or stolen.
Oh, okay, good,
so
good, good.
An important factor too.
That could be, yes. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's a good point, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Now, this is very important, because if you think about it, this is really the explanation behind what I mentioned before that I said. Remember I said before that you're allowed to put the dirty dishes into a pre-existing basin of water, right? Or am I allowed to put the dishes into the dishwasher? Why? So what was the logic that I used? Because anyways, I have to put my dishes somewhere. I have to put my dishes somewhere, okay? So that's the way I explained it. But in reality, the real heter for that is based on what Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying. Because if you think about those activities, putting dishes into a pre-existing basin of water, putting dishes into the dishwasher, so what am I doing? Number one, it's something that's minor exertion. I have to put the dishes somewhere. So if I put them here or I put them there, there's very little exertion involved in terms of putting the dishes somewhere. There's very little exertion involved. And second of all, these are routine things that people do. Right, routine things that people do without thinking about the hachana. When you have dirty dishes, you put them in a basin. When you have dirty dishes, you put them in the dishwasher. These are just routine things. People, after a meal, that's what everybody does. You clear the table, you put them in the dishwasher. It's not something that people are thinking about that, oh, hey, I'm preparing for afterwards to wash my dishes. You just do it. That's a routine thing that people do. So again, anything that's minor exertion and that's a routine thing that people do without thinking about the hachana, Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that that's completely mutter. This is also very important, and now actually let's come to Herb's point, which is the Mishnah Berurah in source number 8, and this will also help us when we put food away after meals on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah here in source number 8 is talking about a case of taking bread out of an oven on Shabbos. Without getting into the particulars of the case, they used to have different types of ovens, and the way they baked bread was different, so there were certain differences and complexities in terms of that halacha. But if I'm taking my bread out of the oven, says the Mishnah Berurah, I can only take bread out of the oven that I need for Shabbos. But if I'm taking bread out of the oven that I don't need for Shabbos, right, I'm taking it out for Motzai Shabbos, that's Hachana. Right? Just like if I'm schlepping wine up from the basement, for example. So I can schlep wine up for my meal on Shabbos. I need wine to make Kiddush. I can't schlep up a whole box of wine. I'm out of wine upstairs, so I can't schlep up a whole box of wine if I don't need it. I only need one bottle this Shabbos, I can bring up one bottle. I can't bring up a whole box. That's extra exertion, that's extra tircha. So writes the Mishnah Berurah, Asur lirdos letzorech cholo, that I'm not allowed to remove bread from the oven on Shabbos if it's not for Shabbos, but if it's for after Shabbos. Afilu tiltu b'yama asur kishu b'shvil cholo, and it's even almost muktza, which, again, not for now, we'll talk about that another time. I'm not, if I know I'm having a party, Motzai Shabbos, I can't schlep up wine on Shabbos for my party on Motzai Shabbos. Comes to El Yaraba, Uba Sefer El Yaraba, make it like the Atma B'tanurim Shalanu, B'makom Pseida Sheyiskal Kel Hapas. Comes to El Yaraba and says that if there's going to be a hefset, if you're going to lose, right, my bread is going to get ruined if I don't take it out of the oven. Okay, the oven's on, whatever the case is, it's going to get burnt, it's going to get ruined. If I don't take it out of the oven, even though I don't need it for Shabbos, it's going to get ruined. So therefore, comes the Elia Rabbah and says that if it's something that's minor exertion, taking bread out of an oven is minor exertion, we're not talking about a heavy exertion here, if it's something that's minor exertion, and I'm doing it to prevent a hefset, to prevent a loss, so the item doesn't get ruined, right? Like Herb said, you're taking your talis out also, so it doesn't get stolen, it doesn't get ruined, something doesn't happen to it. Says the Elia Rabbah, that's also not considered hachana. Chazal never intended to prohibit a case where you were going to suffer a loss. Again, if it's a big tircha, you know, I'm starting to schlep around furniture or something like that because it's going to get ruined, that much you can't do. You know, but minor exertion, taking bread out of an oven, folding my talis, you know, taking it with me, something like that, which is minor exertion, and I'm worried about loss, that's okay. Which is why when I'm clearing up after my meal, right, if you think about it also, what's the heter to take the food and put it back in the refrigerator? I'm clearing up after lunch. I have leftover food, right? So why am I allowed to put it back in the refrigerator? If I'm putting it back in the refrigerator, I'm preparing for after Shabbos. I'm going to use it for leftovers. So what's the heter? It's going to spoil. It's going to ruin. It's going to get ruined. And since it's minor exertion, again, because I'm clearing off my table, I'm allowed to put my food somewhere. That's not big exertion to take the food and to put it some, you know, to put it in the refrigerator. So once I'm doing that, if it's going to spoil, it's considered totally mutter, and that's why you're allowed to put the food in the refrigerator. Now, not only that, but some poskim want to be lenient and say you can even put things in the freezer. Let's say, I know, I don't need this anymore. You know, I have leftovers, and I have a whole kugel here. Somebody took one piece of kugel, I have a whole kugel here. So I'm going to put it in the freezer, I'll use it for next Shabbos, I'll use it for in a month, right? So I'll put it in the freezer. So some poskim say that since, again, it's minor exertion to put something in the refrigerator or the freezer, we're not talking about big exertion here, and it's something routine. People all the time, after you're done eating, I'm not going to use this kugel now, you throw it right in the freezer. It's a routine activity that people do without really thinking too much about preparing, you know, for the future. You know, I don't need it right now. Throw it in the freezer. So because of that,
a refrigerator to a freezer.
So that's why many posts want to be lenient, that when you're clearing off, not only can you put all your food back in the refrigerator so it doesn't spoil, okay, but you can even put things that you don't need back in the, you can even put them into the freezer, and that way they'll be prepared for later. Yeah.
Because the problem with the spoilage is that you're over Baal Tashkis.
That's also true. You don't want to be over Baal Tashkis, right? Right.
All these we apply to the custom myself.
Yeah.
We have a guy doing these things.
That's a good point. So probably if it's a guy, it's not so bad. You know.
You can wash dishes on Shabbos.
Can a guy wash dishes on Shabbos if you don't need them? Yeah. Oh, good, good, good. Okay. So good. So there's no exertion and it's a routine thing that people do, right? So the only thing is, so the answer is you're allowed to do it. Also, there's actually an added benefit that taking a nap on Shabbos is something enjoyable for Shabbos. It's something enjoyable per se. You know, as if you take a poll, I would say, you know, a very high percentage of Jews take a nap on Shabbos because it's enjoyable to take a nap on Shabbos. So even if I am doing it for the express reason because I want to stay up late Motzei Shabbos, I'm driving somewhere, whatever the case is, I want to do it. So it's still mutter because it has a benefit for Shabbos also. The only thing is, and this I kind of ran over, I forgot it, thank you for reminding me, at the end of source number 7, Rav Shlomo Zalman pointed out that you should not verbalize that I'm doing it for Motzei Shabbos. If you're doing it, you're doing it. But you shouldn't say it explicitly that I'm specifically taking this nap because I want to stay up on Motzei Shabbos. By the way, the same applies to studying on Shabbos. You know, and it's a good thing, you know, we don't have too many students over here, but they don't like to hear this. But studying on Shabbos for after Shabbos, so it's a little tricky. It's a little tricky because especially if it's subjects that you wouldn't necessarily just read up on your own, you know, some 10th grader studying chemistry, they're not going to be learning chemistry on Shabbos if they didn't have a test. So that is really a form of hachana. If it's Limudei Kodesh, you know, it's Navi or it's Gemara. So that's something that's a mitzvah to do on Shabbos anyway. So that's certainly not hachana. Any Limudei Kodesh is certainly not hachana. If it's Limudei Chol, where you're talking about studying science or math or something else, where it's not a mitzvah per se to study it on Shabbos, and, you know, you really wouldn't be enjoying it and doing it if it wasn't for that test. You know, if you're like a math fiend and, you can't go a day without looking at your math textbook, so then that's your own Shabbos. That's certainly mutter. It's not hachana. But if I'm only doing it, I hate math. I'm only doing this because I know I have a test on Monday and I have to study. So that's real hachana. That's really problematic. So some students actually like to hear that because then it gets them out of studying on Shabbos. Yeah.
You said earlier that hachana that extends to things beyond extraneous physical exertion.
Right, right.
Are we getting...
So pretty much, for example, a nap. You know, it's not really... that's not really physical exertion, you know. as Stephen pointed out, that's the antithesis of physical exertion.
But that you're allowed to do.
that you're allowed to do. Yeah, no. But if you say that I'm only doing it for Motzei Shabbos, it's problematic. If I say I'm taking this nap because I want to stay up Motzei Shabbos, that's hachana. That's what they said. That's
any other example?
Most things are physical. You know, but I wanted to keep it open for that kind of example. Yeah.
As a general rule, mechinen of a Shabbos, a Shabbos is also.
I'm sorry. Say again.
A general rule, mechinen Shabbos, a Shabbos is also.
From one Shabbos to another,
yeah.
I believe so. Well, you know otherwise.
No, because what you mentioned, Sefer Torah, I thought that you were allowed.
That you were allowed to? I have to double check. I didn't think so. I'll double check. Okay. We'll stop here for tonight. If it's Hashem, next week we'll pick up with some of these other interesting halachos.